Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. We just looked at one verse last week. I think it was a lot of good stuff in there for us to consider, so we didn't look at too much. But tonight, we'll continue on. We'll read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 again, just for context sake. But then we'll continue on with verses 4 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, we come to you. We thank you for the freedom to come in here tonight. We thank you for the air conditioner that we have. I thank you for all these good folks. I thank you for the good songs that were picked. And I thank you for letting us be able to sing out to them. I thank you for Macy for using her gifts to play for us and to lead us in these songs. I thank you for Jennings for leading us in these songs, dear Lord. And I pray that you just would bless the time that we have now in your word. I pray that your word would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would free us from the distractions and worries and thoughts of the world. But in these few minutes, that you can work in us through your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Okay, so we kind of see this introduction that he's writing here at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And so he's telling, look, God, telling Timothy, look, I thank God for you, Timothy. I pray for you. And he continues on there in verse 4. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. So it appears as though that there were some tears that were shed by Timothy. Now, I don't know exactly what occasion he's speaking of here. If you want some homework, you can go back and you can read Acts chapter 20 tonight. And what you're going to see in Acts chapter 20 is Paul is going to be with some of his folks and he's going from place to place. But ultimately, when you get to the end of the chapter, we see that Paul says, look, I'm going back to Jerusalem and I'm not sure what's waiting for me there. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But he tells the people that he's talking to, he says, but you'll never see me face to face again, is what he tells the folks. And what it says there at the end of that chapter is that they were all weeping. Now, at the beginning of Acts chapter 20, we see that Timothy is with Paul. So it's possible that this is what's being talked about, that maybe that's the event that's spoken of there, is that when Paul was getting ready to depart from Ephesus to go back to Jerusalem, and don't forget, this is where Timothy is. He's in Ephesus. We see at the end of that chapter that everybody was weeping, and perhaps this is the occasion. There's no way to know for sure, but that's one possibility. And so, regardless of what the occasion was, it's easy for us to understand when you say goodbye to somebody and you don't know if you'll get to see them again, or it may be a while before you get to see them again, you don't see them very often, we shed tears sometimes. We've all probably done that. Maybe it's a child going away to school, or maybe it's a spouse going off to fight in the war, or whatever it may be. I mean, there are times that we have to say good. Maybe people that just visit, a relative that we only get to see every few years, and man, we spend the week with them, and we love them, and we hug them, and there's kind of some sadness there. So we understand that shedding tears, that, you know, being sad when you depart from somebody. And Paul acknowledges here, he says, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Well, he remembered that there was sadness when they departed, but he also acknowledges that there's joy when we're reunited. And so certainly if Paul would ever get to see Timothy again, there would be joy there. Same for you and I. There is great joy. There's sadness to see somebody go, but man, there's joy. You cry when your kid goes off to school, but you rejoice when they come back from school. Probably. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. It just depends on the kid, I guess. But generally speaking, right? So we all shed tears sometimes, but then there's some rejoicing sometimes. And that's what Paul says. Look, I'm praying for you constantly. I thank God for you, Timothy. I remember it was tough when we left, but I long for the day and look forward to the day that there's going to be some joy. There's sadness now because we're apart, but one day there's going to be joy, hopefully. Verse 5, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is also in you. Now, this is a beautiful passage right here. What does Paul acknowledge? He acknowledges Timothy's grandmother and mother. And what does he say of them? He says that they are women of faith. Now, this is super important, because if we want to be good mothers and good grandmothers, then the life we live is going to impact the kids and the grandkids that we raise. And no doubt, if Timothy's grandmother and mother were women of faith, that probably shaped who he was. Timothy, it's just not by coincidence that he turned out to be a godly man who's gifted by God and who's serving God. Nope, it seems apparent here that Paul is acknowledging, okay, you come from a good background. You come from good family. You had a good mother and a good grandmother, and they were women who were strong in the faith. And I'm convinced, Paul says, I'm convinced that you too, that you're going to be strong in the faith, that you're going to follow in their footsteps. And so it's good for us women to realize that we have an impact. You mothers, you grandmothers, you have an impact. You mothers-to-be, one day you'll be a mother. One day you'll be a grandmother, Lord willing. You're going to have an impact on those kids that you're going to raise and bring into this world. If you are strong in the faith, then there's a good chance that your sons and your daughters will be strong in the faith as well. Verse 6, therefore I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. So he gives him kind of a challenge here. He gives him a kind of an urge here. And he says, therefore I urge you to keep ablaze. Now, some of your translations may say something different, may say something like rekindle or kindle anew or something along those lines, or fan the flame. And so there could be different ways that we could see this. Now, if we take a translation that says something like fan the flame, then what he's saying is, hey, you're on fire for God, and you need to let that fire, it needs to ignite. It needs to go from a small fire, it needs to ignite. You're doing the work of God, you continue doing the work of God, you continue seeking God, and you let the Holy Spirit fan that flame. You let God work in you so that He grows in you, and He grows your ministry and the work that you're doing for the kingdom. That's one way that we could look at it, if we're fanning a flame that's already there. However, some translations will use a word like rekindle. You need to rekindle the fire. Well, that kind of gives a whole different impression. Maybe what Paul is saying here is that Timothy's kind of in a dry season. Maybe Timothy's not doing so good. Paul is saying, look, you used to be on fire for the Lord, and you need to rekindle that. You need to make sure that you stay on fire for the Lord. Now, I'm not sure which of those interpretations would be correct in this instance, but both of those things may be true for us tonight. It may be that you're doing good, and you need to keep doing good and keep seeking God and fan those flames and continue to grow in the Lord. It may be that we need to rekindle our flame. It may be that, you know, there was a time that we were more on fire for God than we are today. And maybe this is a good reminder for us. Now, we may not be serving in the same capacity as Timothy was serving here. But nonetheless, even as Christians, there are times that we need to be rekindled, that we need to be revived. Oftentimes we see that when we have a revival. It's a time that we come, and lots of times we feel revived. And why is that? Because we know that that's a good time, and we go into it with a right heart, and we say, okay, God, I want to see you, I want to experience you, I want to feel you. And so we begin to pray, and we begin to open our heart, and we begin to see God. And then when revival comes, we are revived, and we are reignited, and we are rekindled. Why? Because we have prepared our heart for that. Now, maybe we could have more of those seasons in our life if we earnestly prayed to God to seek Him all the time, and maybe we do, or maybe we don't. But it just kind of becomes routine, right? Church kind of becomes routine, and we go through the motions. It's not that we don't love God. It's not that we're faking it. But sometimes we need those moments to be reignited, to be rekindled. And so that's why we have things like revival. It's good for us to get new people in here that sing different songs and that preach different messages and that make different points and that use different illustrations and they come ready to go and we come ready to hear something that's different, that's unique, that's a change of pace that kind of shakes us and wakes us up. And maybe that's what Paul was telling Timothy here. Maybe he's just saying, Timothy, you're doing a really good job and you just need to keep growing. You need to fan that flame. Don't let it die. Or maybe he's saying, look, Timothy, I know that you're struggling right now, but God has gifted you, and you need to rekindle that. You need to light that thing up. You need to make sure that you stay on fire. It's not burning bright right now. Your fire's not burning, but you need to rekindle that. Both of those things may be true for us at different times in our life. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and a sound judgment. Now, I don't know why Paul is writing this, but maybe he knows something that we don't know. Maybe there was some struggle in Timothy's life. Now, maybe there's a specific something that's going on, and maybe Paul knows that Timothy is struggling. And so he gives him this verse of encouragement. Hey, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, so don't be afraid. Maybe Timothy's doing great. Maybe there's no problem at all. Maybe Paul is just saying this as an encouraging word. Hey, you're doing the work of God. You have nothing to be afraid of while you do the work of God. You continue doing the work of God. So maybe tonight we're doing good in our walk with God. We're doing good in the way that we live for God. Well, don't fear. You keep on doing that. Maybe today you're overwhelmed with some fear. Maybe there's something that God's calling you to do and it's kind of scary and it's kind of difficult and it's kind of stressful and it's kind of painful. Maybe there's something in your life that's going on and you need a little encouragement. Well, this is a good verse of encouragement. For the Lord has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. Sometimes we're afraid. Well, this is a good verse to call on when we're afraid. God hasn't given us anything to be afraid of. If God is for us, who could be against us? So the Lord has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. And so if we're living in fear, and that's dragging us down and depressing us and making us worry all the time and just anxious, then we need to call on this verse and say, okay, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear. So help me not to be afraid. For the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, so if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, and we call on this verse to help us through that, well, what does it say right after that? What has He given us? It tells us what He hasn't given us, so we can stand strong on that, but then we can also stand strong on what He has given us. He's given us a spirit of power. He's given us a spirit of power to do the things He calls us to do, to stand up in the ways that we need to stand up, to live for Him in the way that we need to live for Him. God has given us the power to make it through the tough times in our life. Because there are things that go on in your life, there are things that you're up against in your life, and you don't have the power to get through them. And so you have to call on God and praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit that indwells in us is a spirit that empowers us. Not one that calls us to be fearful and fret over what is before us, but a spirit of power. And a spirit of what? And a spirit of love. That we know the love of God, that we know God loves us, that we know God will not leave us and will not forsake us, that God hears us, that God is with us, that we are never alone. That's the spirit of love that we see and that we experience. We experience the power of God and the love of God. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, of love, and of a sound mind, or of sound judgment, some of your translations may say. Okay? So even if it feels like we're losing our mind, well, we need to seek God. He's given us a sound mind. We want to say, okay, God, you need to take control of my mind. You need to take control of my thoughts. You need to help me to stand firm and stand strong in you, dear Lord. I don't want to fear these things. Now, I don't know what Timothy was going through in his life. Maybe the things that were before him as he served God were overwhelming. Maybe there was some fear there. Maybe there was some doubt there. Maybe that's why Paul is giving this instruction. Or maybe it's just general instruction. Hey, stand firm. You're doing the work of God. Don't give up and don't quit what you're doing. Continue to run the race. And these are good words. Remember, this is the last letter that Paul wrote that we have in the Bible. Now, maybe he wrote some letters after this that we don't have access to. But the last letter that we know for sure that Paul wrote is this one to Timothy. And he's passing this torch on to Timothy. He's already worked with Timothy. He's already helped teach Timothy and bring Timothy up. And he's writing him these two letters to say, hey, Timothy, do the work. Don't give up. And not only is he telling him what to do, but he showed him what to do. Because Paul has been in prison. Maybe he's in prison multiple times. It's hard to know exactly, you know, what was going on in this time frame. Maybe he was in prison. Maybe he was out of prison. But regardless, Paul was one who continued to do the work of Jesus Christ. He continued to live for Jesus, even when it was difficult. He continued to preach the gospel. And he tells Timothy, look, you got to keep telling people about Jesus, so don't give up. You've got faith. You were raised by a good family. I see that strength of your family in your faith. You are a man who is gifted by God, and so you need to allow that to be ignited, and don't worry about what is before you because God is with you. Now, whether or not we're a missionary or a pastor or in ministry, these words are good for us. These are good words for us, that we want to be those who are strong in the faith, those who are on fire for God, and those who are not afraid to do whatever God may call us to do. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for a good word. I pray that you would help us to learn from your word tonight, that we would grow from your word tonight, dear Lord, that you would help us not to have a spirit of fearfulness, but a spirit that trusts in you, God. I pray that we would be those who are strong in the faith, and that we'd be a good example to our families and those who come after us, dear Lord, that they too would see our faithfulness and draw closer to you. God, maybe there are some tonight, and we're not as on fire for you as we should be. I pray that if there's some here or some listening, that maybe they're not as on fire for you today as they were last week or last year or whenever it was. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to fan those flames, that you would fan them, dear Lord, that you would help us to be those who are on fire for you and live for you every day. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.